Good morning. It is so good to see you all here. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day. A good day to rejoice and praise God for all the good things that He has bestowed upon us. Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 84, and verses 5 through 9. Psalm chapter 84, verses 5 through 9. Today I'm preaching on passing through this valley. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, as I read from God's Word, please. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, God, that you give us the strength every day to walk this journey. And God, we know that some days this journey is on the mountaintop, other days the journey is in the valley. And you know, Lord, no matter where we're at on this journey, you go before us. And you're right there with us, Father. And you're walking us through every step, through every need, through every trial, and every persecution. And you're there with us when we're going through the good times, the times of praise and rejoicing. And God, we thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And now, Father, as I preach this message, God, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, Father. And don't let anything come from my own thoughts or my flesh, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Wouldn't it be great if every day that we were alive, wouldn't it be great if we could be on the mountaintop? Doesn't it feel great to feel joy? And doesn't it feel great to be happy, to have an eased mind and an eased heart? And doesn't it feel good when you get up and, boy, you feel like you could just tackle the world today, that nothing's going to stop you, that nothing can get in your way, that, man, you and God are going to do what God wants you to do, and there's no boundaries whatsoever. Wouldn't it be great to be on the mountaintop every day? Yes, it would. But what helps us to get on those mountaintops, those valleys, those journeys that we go through, the dark and perilous times? And I've had so many people ask me, why does God allow us to go through the valleys? Why does God allow us to experience the hard and difficult times? And here's the reason why. God doesn't do it to be mean, but God allows us to go through these things, death and sickness and trials and tribulations and whatever comes along the way, so that we will turn to Him in every one of those situations and have a dependence upon Him. See, if life was good every day, then guess what? We wouldn't have to depend on God as much, right? That's truth. If life was rosy and great, you know what we would be dependent upon? We would depend upon the situation that we're going through. That's what we would depend on. And we would look to these things to give us the joy and the happiness and the peace. But I'm here to tell you this morning that when you are walking through a valley, passing through. Now, when you go when you're on a journey, do you ever just stay in one place? When you're going, let's say like you're going on a vacation, you're going on a trip, do you just get in your car and sit in one place and expect to get there? Well, no. When you get in that car and you're going on a trip, you're going from point A to your destination. And our journey in this life, when we started out with Jesus Christ, now the Lord's telling us that He wants us to follow Him and He wants us to trust Him. And we know that when we come to a valley, now I love those mountaintop days, and boy, yesterday was a mountaintop day. Today is a mountaintop day. I try to make every day a mountaintop day, even when I'm in the valley. But you know what? When I go to a valley, here's what I see going into a valley. When I see that things are starting to go the opposite way of what I thought, or maybe I'm facing a struggle, or maybe I've encountered somebody who's angry for whatever reason, and man, they just unload on me. Here's what I see. I see the Savior walking into that valley with me. I see my Savior, Jesus Christ, heading into that valley. And this is what I know that the Lord is doing. The Lord is saying, come on, don't stand back there. I want you to walk with me. And as we go into a valley, we know that we're going to be strengthened. We know that we're going to be comforted. We know that our needs will be met because God loves us with a love that we will never understand. God will, if God brings us to it, He's going to get us through it. So, you know what? This is how we as Christians should live our life. When we know we're going to go into a valley, we should go into that valley and we should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going through this valley. Because I am not going to let this journey break me. I'm not going to let this problem or these set of circumstances defeat me in any certain way. What I'm going to do, Father, is I'm going to trust you and I'm going to build my relationship on what you're showing me, on what you're giving to me to build upon. Now, this past week, a family member goes into the hospital. And I've witnessed before to this person. And I was telling Effie this morning. I said, you know, it got on my mind the other night. I said, I don't even know if this man's a Christian or not. And I thought, if he's not, he's not going to spend an eternity with the Lord. Now, I've tried to be a witness. I've tried to share Jesus. But, you know, in this moment, it's something that I can't let myself be burdened with. I really can't. You know, because we as Christian people, and this is one valley that we go through a lot. We have friends, we have family, and we have maybe co-workers or people we know that don't know Jesus Christ. And you know what? We should have such a burden in our hearts for them that we should be willing at any cost to share the love of Jesus Christ. And we know that even though there's people who aren't saved, we can't go through life worrying about them going to hell. If we are doing everything we can, if we are praying to the Lord and sincerely lifting these people up to Jesus every day, I firmly believe that the Lord is working in the background in ways that I cannot see. I mean, I witnessed to my mother-in-law for a long time, and she would always turn her face away from me. And then she'd get mad at me, and she wouldn't talk to me for days. She hated it. She went to the Catholic Church. She was devoted Catholic. And the ways that she had been taught were far different from what I've been taught of Jesus and how he loves us and how we have to accept him as Lord and Savior. But we prayed every day for her. And I didn't worry about her going to hell. I did not. And, you know, she had to have a heart procedure done 1 year. And the doctor came out and the doctor, they put a new heart valve in. And the doctor said to Janine, I don't know how your mother's alive all these years. Because he said, the blood that's been going through that valve, the blood drops are about the size of the end of a ballpoint pen. He said, nobody lives on that. Physically, nobody. He said it had to be God keeping her alive for some reason. Because she wasn't saved. The prayers were being said, and God was hearing them. And God was keeping her alive. And I won't forget, in May or June of 2019, I called a pastor friend of mine and said, look, will you go see my mother-in-law? She's at Bounce Back. I thought, she can't go anywhere. You know, she's broken hips. She sure can't run out of that place. She can't run away from him. She's in a wheelchair. So I thought, she can't get very far. And her arms, she said the arms didn't feel like moving that chair a whole lot. And I thought, she's stuck. She can't get away from Brother Donnie. So Brother Donnie Colson went to go see her. And that evening, on Wednesday night, before Brother Donnie Colson went to go into his prayer meeting, he led my mother-in-law to Jesus Christ. And she got saved. And he called me the next morning in tears. And he said, well, brother, he said, your mother-in-law is going to heaven. I said, what? He goes, she got saved. I was like, boy, and I was rejoicing. Oh, was I ever rejoicing. And I hurried up and I called Janine. I said, oh, guess what? She said, what? I said, your mom's going to heaven. And she goes, what? And she was all excited. I said, your mom got saved last night. And we were just pumped. And I tell you what, we had gone through some valleys and we had gone through some deep depths with her. But God was there with us through each and every step. And I won't forget, on Thanksgiving morning of 2019, at about 2:20 in the morning, as she took her last couple of breaths, and she left this world and stepped into the glories of heaven. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But you know what? All through life, we're going to have valleys, and we have to pass through them. And when I think when we go into a valley, I think that we should have ourselves ready to go. We should have praise mode on when we go through a valley. And why should we be praising the Lord? Why should we rejoice when we go through the valley? Because it lessens the negative thinking that we will do when we're going through the hard and difficult times, when we're going through the health crisis, when we're going through family situations. If we will praise God, if we will pray and remain steadfast, if we will keep a smile on our face, even though it doesn't feel like it up here, we feel like we're about to crumble and break. But I'm telling you what, it's those moments that we say, Father, I know that in this valley, you are walking with me, and I'm going to come through on the other side, and the flames that have been burning all around me through this whole trial, this fiery trial, I will not be scorched. I will not be burned, because you will not let me be touched in any bad way. It's in the valley that our faith is put to the test. Peter got to a valley. Jesus gets arrested. And everybody comes and looks at Peter and they start to point fingers at him. And they say, well, hey, this guy right here, he's one of those disciples. He knew Jesus. And you know what Peter did? He let his faith go. Peter was the kind of guy that said, oh no, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never turn my back on you. I'm right there with you right to the end. How many times do we do that to God? Oh, Lord, I'll never turn on you. I'll never reject you in any way, shape, or form. And the moment that the trial comes, the moment the devil points a finger, the moment that the devil starts to accuse you of something or bring something your way, how many times do we say, I don't know him. I don't know that Jesus. Jesus told Peter he would deny him three times. And that's exactly what happened. Peter denied Jesus three times. Put him in probably in the lowest state he'd ever been in his life. I want to share something with you today. If you're going through a hard time right now, the easiest and the best thing that you can do is to take all of those pressures and trials and lay them at God's throne. Take them to God in prayer. Take everything to God in prayer. By faith, you leave it there. And by faith, you stand up and you walk away praising God, thanking Him that He's answered your prayer. And here's the thing. When you're going through a valley, when you're going through difficult times, we don't know how long they're going to last. God does. But when we're in there, we should take those moments of each day. Instead of being impatient, we should learn to grow. We should learn to walk. We should learn to be strengthened. Because when you get to the end of that valley, you know what's going to happen? You're going to look at yourself and say, wow, I came out of that and I was not harmed in any way, shape, or form. And I also believe we go through valleys so that we can be a witness and a blessing to other people. Now, I've had things go on in my life, and I have asked God, why am I going through this? I serve you. I read the Word. Why are you doing this to me? And the Lord would say, I'm doing this for your good. I'm doing this so that you will depend upon me. But I'm also teaching you something because you want to preach the Word. I've made you a minister. So in that fact, I have to go through things so that I can help somebody else who's on the same journey that I just got done going through. Whether it's death, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial, whether it's family. And let me tell you something. I'm not going into it, but I've been going through a trial now. I've got something in my life that's been a valley. And you know what? There's been many times on the journey that I've thought, well, if I just quit and get off here, I don't have to keep going through this anymore. It's easier to quit. It's easier to give up. But what happens in the long run? You miss out on the blessings that God has for you down the road. See, if you quit on God now, you're putting yourself in a bad situation, a lot worse than you were in. We can't make it without God. But I'll tell you this, through the situation that I've been going through for this valley for quite a while now, I won't quit walking in it. I will continue to praise the Lord. I will continue to sing and worship and serve because I know that at the end of this trial, I know that my prayers will be answered and I know that I will be able to reach out my hand to the next person who's going through exactly what I've been through and I can embrace them. Excuse me. I can embrace them in the love of the Lord, and I can share with them what God's done. I can give them the scriptures that the Lord has put on my heart that I needed to read so that I would get the answers that I've been looking for. So if the Lord chose the route, we know that the road's not easy. But if Jesus is leading the way, don't you think that He'll make the rough and crooked path straight and smooth for us? Don't you think He'll do that because He loves us that much? He will make a way in the wilderness. He will even make streams in the desert. God can do abundantly above all that we could ask or that we could even think. Here's the problem, though. We put God in a box. We make boundaries for God. I don't know why we do that. We're the creation. He's the creator. We didn't create Him. God created us. So why do we put boundaries on God? Why in our lives do we say, well, this is how I perceive it? And then someone else over here says, well, this is how what it means to me. Well, it ain't about us at all. We've got to quit putting boundaries around God, because when we put boundaries up on God, we are stopping Him from moving in our life because we are not showing the type of faith that He wants us to have. Now, there's things that we're going to face. They're going to be unpleasant. And boy, they're not going to be good at all. I know. I lived with an abusive father. I had a dad that was abusive in every way. He was mean to the core. And I never knew what I was going to get. Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. He had no idea. But you know what? People have asked me, well, how did you turn out the way that you did? How come you're not angry? How come you're not on drugs? How come you're not going through jail? Well, you know, we all have choices to make. We may have gone through things in our lives that weren't the best of all. But here's what I did. I chose one day to give my heart and life to Jesus. And I asked Jesus. I was mean at one time. I didn't like people. I've told you that before. I hated people. I did. I had an ugly heart. And if you said something to me, you would have got your head bit off. And I was kind of guy in school that if I saw somebody I didn't like, oh, I'd shove them in the hallway and say, "You're ugly." I was. And it's because of how I was raised. And I didn't know love. But when I met Jesus, I was given a love that I'd never experienced before. And the love that He gave to me, it dispelled all of the dark shadows that were in my heart. And it opened my eyes to a brand new life, to a brand new way of living. And I had a new trust. And so I've told people, it's the choice that I made to follow Jesus. When things get hard, I have got to put my nose to the grindstone and I've got to dig more into Jesus. I've got to trust Him and worship Him more. There's times that I've had to get on my face and say, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't have the answers." And sometimes that's what God's waiting on us to say. God is waiting on us to say, "I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn to next. But Lord, You do. I just give it to You and I trust You with it." I'm telling you what, when we get to that point, then God can do incredible things. When we remove the boundaries, And when we quit putting things in front of God, saying, well, God, I limit you here. We limit God with this up here. See, we should be experiencing God with the heart, not with the brain. The brain is where, the mind is where the battlefield happens. We should be experiencing God with our hearts because that's where He lives. I want you to think about something. When Lazarus died, Jesus knew he died. Mary and Martha are going through a valley. Their brother had been sick. And they had sent for Jesus to come because they wanted their brother to be healed of his sickness. Well, their brother dies, and he's already in the tomb. And then just a few days later, Jesus came by after he'd already been buried. And you remember what they said to Jesus. Well, Jesus, if you'd only been here, our brother would be here. He wouldn't be dead. And Jesus told them, your brother will live. Well, in the bewilderment of the situation, here's what's going on. Their minds were filled. Their heads were spinning, I'm sure, with all these thoughts. See, they're trying to reason things with human understanding, and you can't do that. You can't understand God's ways with human reasoning. You just can't. That's why by faith we're supposed to choose to trust God in everything. So Jesus came along, and Jesus told them, well, hey, take the stone back from that tomb. Now Jesus did this. Jesus knew Lazarus was dead. They were weeping, and the Bible says Jesus wept. So, if you're in the valley, he's in the valley, don't you think he understands how you feel? Think of how God the Father felt when his son had to hang on the cross and take our sins upon him. The man who knew no sin became sin for us. Think of how he felt that his only perfect son had to become sin so that we would be free. Think of it like this. Did God go through a valley? I think he did because his son had to die. It was the only way. But Jesus went through a valley. A valley he didn't want to walk through, but Jesus said, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And he went ahead and went to the cross for you and I. So Jesus calls Lazarus forth from the grave, and Lazarus came out. I always like what one of them said. The Lord, he stinketh. He's dead. Because back then, I mean, they did. They put him in a rot, and the body started to rot. Ooh, the smell. And I could see the human side of that. Lord, he's going to stink. You don't call him out. But see, when Jesus does something, he does it to full completion. And when we go through the valleys, it is to the glory of God and for your good. What we should do in life, everything that's bad, we should use it. We should ask God to use it for our good. We should ask God to use it for our good. When the shepherd is with us, the grass is green, we will find still waters, we will be restored. In the valley, we are drawn closer to God. We see God's mighty hand at work, and we start to grow in our faith. So see, the valley's not as bad as we think it is. The valley is actually a place where we grow, where we experience Jesus more. The valley, He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. So when you go through a valley, look for the lily. Look for the light in the darkness. Don't look at the darkness, but look at the light. And walk with the Lord. Remember, the Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God is faithful, you are His child, and His grace is sufficient for you. Trust God for the blessing. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. The Apostle Paul was going through a lot of stuff. He asked God to remove the thorn from his side. Now, it wasn't the type of thorn that you would find on a rose bush or a thorn. How many of you ever seen a thorn tree? Man, them things are about 4 to 8 inches long. I used to exaggerate and say, boy, I saw one, that thing was 2 foot long on there and poked me right in the head. No. But Paul asked God, remove this thorn from my side. He wasn't talking about a literal physical thorn. He was going through so much in his life. He'd had enough. He said, God, if you would just remove it. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, if we would think on that, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. I'm going to pull myself up. I'm going to get myself together. And if we're going to walk through this valley, then Lord, I'm going to praise you through it. And I'm going to trust you through it. I'm going to say something that I hope that you'll really think about this before you even have an action or anything about it. When we lose a loved one and they're a Christian, it's not a bad thing. God's not trying to punish us. But God knows and God sees. But the greatest thing of it all, when we lose a loved one, they've gone on to heaven, and we have the hope and the joy of seeing them again. And I just feel like, you know, I have really been overcome a lot with grief lately. I'll just say that's a lot of the valley I've been going through since I lost my mom last year. And a lot of people would say, well, just get over it. You don't just get over it. I'd give anything right now if I could just put my arms around her and give her another hug. But I'm glad that the night before she died that I did it. I hugged her and kissed her and told her I loved her. Oh, if I hadn't have done that, I would really be heartbroken. But here's what I do know. She's in heaven, and she's not going through. So see, this is a valley. Death is a valley. It's probably one of the deepest, darkest valleys we all ever walk through. But let me tell you this. When Jesus takes a hold of your hand in that valley, and if you will allow Him to show you what He has prepared for your loved ones and what He's got waiting for us, I'm telling you what, really, I've started seeing things in a whole different light now. I know that my mom is in heaven. Yeah, I miss her. And yeah, the grief is there. But I'm going to keep walking through this valley till I come out on the other side of it.